Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to go blitzing all around the Beltway. It's just afternoon. Grant and Danny on the Fan, and it is officially legal tampering day. Closing in on free agency day. As of 3 minutes ago, teams could start making legal phone calls to pending free agents about joining their roster.
Who do you think called for the Redskins? Think it's Bruce? Bruce just hitting guys up?
Bruce is working the phones. No, the guy that does everything is Eric Schaefer. I don't know what anyone else
does. He's calling free agents? He's calling,
he's calling agents
and stuff? Okay.
He is the guy that has the best relationship with all the agents.
But I'm in the recruiter. I'm talking about Bruce being like, going on, Muhammad? Right. It's Bruce from the Redskins.
Bruce is going, hey, this is Bruce Allen. I'm looking for Ndamukong Suh. Is Ndamukong Suh there? He's like, this is Ndamukong? Hey, Ndamukong, we really wanted to talk to you. You know who I want to talk to is our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. Craig Hoffman joins us now. Muhammad Wilkerson is meeting with the Redskins today in Ashburn, Craig. What do we know about this potential relationship?
Well, it's someone they're interested in for the obvious reason that he's extraordinarily talented. He has not been the same player since he got paid. So I think that what they're going to obviously want to get a sense of is who he is as a guy, what motivates him, what are they going to get out of him? Will they get the guy from his first couple of years where he was hungry and playing in a top-tier defensive lineman? Are they going to get the guy that the Jets got post-contract where he was essentially fat and happy, for lack of a better way to put it? And so I think the number one thing they want to figure out is who he is, and then what kind of deal would it take to get him done? You know, if they can get him on a deal that is incentive-laden, it would make sense that he would play for it and earn that money. If he's looking for something a little bit more guaranteed, I just, by the nature of what he's been, I doubt, and you know, what they have to spend and they have to get done over the course of the next week or so, I doubt that would be a deal they would be as interested in.
I've been fat and happy before. Craig, tell me about Trent Murphy. Tell me about that contract. Dustin Hopkins, Zach Brown. Where do we stand with these guys?
So Dustin got re-signed today. I don't know why it took so long. I guess there was probably not a whole lot of fear that wasn't going to get done. And eventually they just said, yep, we're going to go ahead and sign Dustin Hopkins. So that deal is done. I haven't been able to figure out the terms yet, but he is going to be back in burgundy and gold as a young kicker. Great dude and someone that is reliable. And I only mentioned the great dude part because, you know, attitude for a kicker, I think, matters when you talk about the mental makeup of the guy. And he's just not fazed. If he misses a kick, he understands how to get better and all those kinds of things. As for Zach Brown, it's going to take maybe, you know, before Wednesday at 4 o'clock, they can get something done. If he gets a sense of the market and realizes that he's not going to get the $10 million a year that he wants, then perhaps he does wind up re-signing here in D.C. before Wednesday at 4, when he can sign somewhere else. Again, the legal tampering period now open. He wants to be here. They want him here. They don't agree on a number. It's going to take the market to either say, yes, Zach Brown, you are right. Someone is going to pay you $10 million plus a year. Or the Redskins being right and saying, no, $8.5-$9 million is where you're going to live, and then signing that deal. And then it's also a matter of years. If he feels like he can do another one-year or two-year deal and then hit free agency again and finally get the deal that he wants, maybe that's an option that's appealing to him. As for Murphy, I think he's just wanting to explore a little bit and see what's out there. They have talked to him. J.P. Finley reported that over the weekend, that they did reach out with an actual offer. So Trent has an idea of what the Redskins would like to pay him. If he goes and finds something richer, then obviously the Redskins will have a decision to make of whether or not they do go ahead and match that, or if they then say, maybe we do want to invest in Junior Gallet, or you just go somewhere else in the edge market. So we'll kind of have to see how that plays out. But Trent Murphy does have a standing contract offer from the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, and he should. I mean, this is how free agency works. Teams offer guys deals and say, if you don't get something better, come back and get this. But they've done every year for a long, long time. So that's good. How big picture here, aggressive do you anticipate they'll be with the major names on this market like Wilkerson?
I think that they'll be – I don't want to say they're not going to be aggressive. Here's the thing, though. You know, if let's say you want to get involved in Allen Robinson, and that's going to cost you $14 million a year. Well, you've only got 31 to play with, so you're going to eat half your cap space on one guy. I think there's an argument to be made that they should. You know, I think that they are lacking a higher-end talent more than they are in depth. So if you need to spend big on one or two guys, then fine. But if you go ahead and spend 14 on Allen Robinson, and for whatever it's worth, Jason Lockenflora, I believe, named six teams in his free agency primer piece, and the Redskins were not one of them involved in Robinson. But if, say, you were to spend $14 million on a guy like Robinson and then $8 or $9 million on Zach Brown, and say it's $9 million, that's 23 of your $31 million available after you acquire Alex Smith. So it's really tough to try to figure out exactly how aggressive. I do think they want to make a play for at least one or two big names, whether they're, you know, just how high they're willing to go, especially with teams like New York and Cleveland and San Francisco that have like insane amounts of cap space. That's the thing I don't think they're going to be able to compete with. If a team wants to go buck wild on a guy, they're just not going to be able to match because they're a little bit more cash strapped. Well, they're not in a bad spot. They're not in the spot that those teams are.
Correct. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
You got it. I'm sure I'll talk to you guys later this week.
Sounds good, buddy. Rest up. It's going to be busy.
Wizards, please, Tommy. Ben Standig joins us from the Sports Capital. Follow them on the Twitterverse. Benjamin, one good at New Orleans, did what they're supposed to do. One bad at Miami, second game of back-to-back. They just got outworked in that one.
Not much else you can say about that. I mean, it was just a layup line for the Heat. They had, I think, like 76 points in the paint, and that's been an issue for the Wizards these last few games. Although it's been kind of weird because there's been a lot of small ball going on for the Wizards' perspective, in part because some of it's been matchup related. They wanted to go that way, but some of it is no Anthony Davis, no Hassan Whiteside. And when the Wizards don't have much rim protection as is, when you take out Yan Mahimi and you limit Marcin Gortat's minutes, it gets even less. And I think Miami took advantage of the Wizards not having much inside. Also, too many turnovers led to lead outs in that game.
Ben, curious to get your thoughts on the Eastern Conference right now, teams that you'd be worried about playing in round one if you're the Wizards, teams you'd want to play if you were the Wizards.
Well, one thing that's crazy, right? I mean, the Wizards have not clinched a playoff spot, but basically the top eight teams are essentially set. I mean, in some order, because the Pistons have fallen way out. So we kind of know the teams. As for, like, how it's going to shape out from there, 3-8 is all kinds of wild. I mean, Indiana is continues to move up the board. The Wizards could be anywhere. I mean, if even just another, you know, 2-3-game losing streak, you could drop. They could easily drop to the back. So it's kind of all over the place. I still maintain I wouldn't really want to face Giannis in the postseason if I'm the Wizards, but the Bucks don't look good. It's crazy. This is what's so weird. The Wizards could finish towards the bottom of the East, and at the same point, if you tell me John Wall is healthy, I think they can make the Eastern Conference Finals, if not win it, because I don't think anybody is that great. So it's a wild team in the East.
Ben, backup guards. It's, you know, Bradley Beal's playing those huge amount of minutes. It's been Ramon Sessions lately. What do you make of that kind of guard rotation from Brooks?
I think he's trying to figure it out. The Ramon Sessions thing to me, I mean, we're seeing what Ramon Sessions is. He can get to the rim, he can get to the free throw line, but he's not really going to set anybody up. And to me, this is a second unit that's a problem because you don't have enough guys who can get their own. That's why I was working with Satoransky. He was being aggressive enough to really help create opportunities for others. Tim Frazier can get the ball to the right spots, but he's not really setting guys up for more. Brooks has actually used Satoransky with Sessions in these small ball lineups the last few games. I think that's helped a little bit, but I haven't seen enough from Sessions to think to myself, well, they've solved their backup point guard spot for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if we go back to Frazier soon. Ultimately, the playoffs on some level can't come quick enough for the Wizards where they can just go Wall, Beal, Satoransky, and guard and kind of move on.
The Sports Capital is the site. They've got a guest opinion piece from Tom Friend today. He's going to join us at 1.
Indeed.
He just crushed Kirk Cousins. Hey, Ben, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having him on and promoting the site, guys. Really appreciate it.
No doubt, man. It's a captivating story. Let's go talk a little hockey. J.J. Reagan, NBCSportsWashington.com. J.J., is it Gruby time in the district?
Gruby time.
Yes, it is. Grubauer is going to start tonight. He is still, he's played. It's no real surprise because he had a shutout in the last game. It's really hard to pull him after having a shutout, considering how well he has played and how much Holpe has struggled. And this, you know, it's still not a bad thing. Holpe needs to clear his head. Continuing to play him and watching him get pulled wasn't helping. So it's not. It's a great luxury that the Caps have that they can still try out their second goalie and be competitive night in and night out.
Jackson, Jeffcoat, Reagan, I care about the three goals over the span of three games on this West Coast trip as much as I care about who the goaltender is. It's not as if they blew the doors off against San Jose either. I love the defensive effort and the shutout, but I need a little bit more offense against this team, or for this team, rather. Where's it gone here recently?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, now that Jacob Vrana is scoring, nobody else is. So and wouldn't it be nice if this team could get TJ Oshie and Jacob Vrana and Andre Burakovsky all going at the same time rather than separately? Because it seems like that's just the way it's gone this season. The offense has been inconsistent, but you know what? It's been inconsistent all year. I mean, where would this team be without Alex Ovechkin finding the fountain of youth and scoring 40 goals this season? So getting the goalie right is their top priority right now. Getting the defense play better is their second priority for the postseason. After that, they've got to get the offense better. It's been weaker than I think most people have thought because of what Alex Ovechkin has done.
JJ, thank you, pal. We will check you out tonight at Capital One Arena. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim Jeffries.
Caps finally back home after that road trip. Alex Ovechkin still looking for goals, 599 and 600. From a guy the Capitals need to play better, Braden Holpe, to players the Redskins may need to acquire. What are their biggest positions of need? We will welcome you in on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines on that topic. Danny and I will rank positions of need next, right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. 40 minutes from now, we'll talk to Tom Friend. Wrote a piece for the Sports Capital. That's the new site Brian McNally, Ben Standig, Todd Dibas have put together. You can subscribe to here in D.C. And without getting into all the specifics, we can let Tom tell you a little bit about the story he wrote. Basically, the gist is it's a fan perspective of him never buying in on Kirk Cousins as a guy.
Didn't think much of Cousins the player, thought even less of him as a guy.
Yeah, and basically just belittles little things that he did, like saying that by learning the names of the reporters and having their pictures in his locker, which a lot of people, including you and I, complimented and called professional, he thinks, like Peyton Manning, he's basically a fraud, is what he said, paraphrasing. So he vilified him for that, crushed him for not cheering when Robert Griffin rushed for a touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings a few years ago. I mean, now we're going back 6 years later and watching the film to see whether or not he raised his hand over his head and cheered while Griffin ran past him on the sideline. He referred to Mike McCartney as the Redskin Scott Boras. I have no idea what that means. He also said that Jay Gruden was an unwavering supporter. Cousins owes his entire career to Jay. I've never believed that necessarily. I definitely think he owes his career partially to Gruden, just like he owes it to Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan.
Sure.
And Mike Shanahan. But Jay Gruden was never as big a Kirk Cousins supporter as people think.
So
that is my opinion as someone who has kind of been fairly plugged in on the operation over the years.
So we're talking Redskins needs here, 800-636-1067. But I will say this actually fits in my mind. I was thinking about this. Florio was on with Chad the other day and said this about what D'Angelo Hall spoke to, and it's begun. This is what's going to happen. It can't just be that the player leaves. It's now got to be something of a smear campaign. So you find outlets that are kind to you, and you let D'Angelo Hall go speak on behalf of the team. And I like D'Angelo Hall, by the way. I'm not criticizing D. Hall. He said what he said, which is kind of head-scratching and curious about they didn't know if Cousins wanted to be there, wanted to be all in. Keep in mind, he signed the franchise tag and held passing camps and worked really hard. So some of it doesn't jive. Then you go to this, you know, Doug Williams spoke to somebody that he could. So it sounds to me, or it seems to me, like you get guys together in a room and go, okay, let's start our strategy of helping people move on.
Hey,
and
Doug,
knock the guy that was here.
Right.
Well, Doug's like, I'm buddies with Tom Friend, who lives out west now, but still loves the Redskins and has written three glowing pieces about how wonderful RG3 is and how the organization did him wrong. We let him go.
Yeah, by the way,
I'll call him.
Wrote in 2015 about how basically Griffin got a raw deal and got screwed over. Wrote the preeminent story about him pre-draft. So he's a Griffin guy.
Which is fine.
And a Redskins fan. Didn't necessarily come in, I think, completely unbiased.
But now it fits, though, is that you'll probably see one other thing instead of just letting it go. Everyone's already moved on, but the Redskins have to get their last word in, like a like, you know, they're going to slam the door after they yell at their ex before right. they move out finally.
But that aside, just wanted to tell you what the piece is about. He's going to be on the show at 1. Obviously, there's a lot of things in here I want to ask him about I disagree with. So that should be compelling about 40 minutes from now here on Grant and Dan. He's an outstanding writer.
Really good writer.
We got to ask him, too, who's he writing for now? Because he was at ESPN, the magazine, and ESPN.com forever, and I don't believe he is anymore. But you mentioned that we wanted to get into team needs, so let's do that here. Free agency starts in 2 days. More accurately, though, the legal tampering period is underway. 22 minutes ago, agents are now able to be on the phone with teams. So the Redskins can be buyers as much as they'd like to be right now. They've got Muhammad Wilkerson in the building today for a meeting. He's one of the most vaunted and highest regarded defensive line prospects in free agency. Here is the question for you, and we'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. What is this team's biggest need? And maybe you can give us the biggest need on offense and the biggest need on defense if you'd like to at 800-636-1067. I have ranked my top 5 needs, Danny.
I got my 5.
Now, I'll say this. This team has so many needs it was hard to do because I've got 2 or 3 positions that as I look at them, I go, they have to be a top 5 need. They need someone there. But I got 5 that outweigh it. So let's run through it. And just for the record, I went specific to positions. So like safety and corner wouldn't be together as secondary.
Right.
Outside linebacker and inside linebacker are not linebacker. That's 2 different positions. I put D-line together. I didn't put like nose tackle, end. But by and large, it's based on like the position groups you practice with mm-hmm. and meet with. So let's run through it. The number one need for the Redskins that you've got is what?
I did separate defensive end and nose tackle. So I will say an impact defensive lineman, whether it's a Muhammad Wilkerson, whether it's a Deron Payne, whether it's someone else that they're able to draft, someone to go opposite Jonathan Allen to wreak havoc, to penetrate, to ruin offensive designs and sets. They need an impact defensive end in that 34.
Yeah, I can't stress this enough. You know, every offseason, I think I've kind of got something I beat the drum for until people just get too tired of hearing it. A couple of years ago, it was you can't have enough pass rushers on the outside coming to the quarterback. This year, I'm just talking D-line until I get blue in the face. Look at the Jaguars, Yannick Ngakoue and R.B. Jones, Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell, Dante Fowler, Marcel Darius, Mike Bennett, Dwayne Smoot. That is the deepest defensive line group in the league, not coincidentally also the best defense in the league. Look at the Eagles, who just won the Super Bowl. Vinny Curry, Timmy Jernigan, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett they drafted in the first round. Chris Long they signed in just free
beasts.
Agency. And they drafted another guy in the 7th round, Bo Allen they like. And they just traded for Michael Bennett. Defensive line is the biggest priority. Number one, because you're not good enough there. Number two, it should always be on your top 5. I think that should be a rule. I don't care if you're the Jaguars. Your number 5 need should be D-line because you just can't have enough of those guys. Number 2 biggest need, I'll go first here if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I've got running back. And you're going to disagree, I'm sure, on this because we disagree about just the value of having a really good running back. But I am now done with Rob Kelly, and I don't mean him specifically, but guys like Rob
right.
Kelly.
Right, I understand.
I am out of the market of, hey, if everything goes right, this guy can rush for 115 carries on 21 attempts. No. I want guys who make plays. I want first and second down options who can turn a 5-yard blocked play into a 27-yard gain. I want someone, when they get past the second level, who can score a touchdown. I want someone who can make the band play hail to the Redskins on 2nd and 11 from your own 26-yard line. And on 3rd down, you've had that with Chris Thompson. He's coming off of a serious injury, by the way. So I want someone who is diminutive and shifty and can make catches and do some things out of the backfield, not just on 3rd down, but like Chris Thompson on 1st and 2nd down. Give me that and make it a priority. This is something that is vital. It's not just a want, it's a need. If you draft someone in 2, I'm cool with that. If you sign someone like Jerick McKinnon, I'm cool with that too. You don't need to have Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. But you got to do better than what you have the last couple years. Oft-injured Samaje Perine is a wrecking ball, who I still want in short yardage. He can be a part of the future here. But he could be the 3rd guy behind Thompson and whoever your 1st and 2nd down starter is. Running back number 2 for me.
Number 2 need a nose tackle. Look at these totals. 260, 160, 150, 175, 182, 160, 170. These are the down-the-stretch rushing totals allowed by the Washington Redskins. Disastrous. Once Jonathan Allen was hurt, they weren't the same team. With all you're done with the Rob Kellys of the world. Nice dudes, no issue with Rob Kelly. With all due respect to a guy that's had a great career, I'd like to see less of Ziggy Hood, please. I'd like to see less of guys just sort of filling in at nose tackle. I need a real, honest-to-goodness nose tackle. To me, you don't switch to a 34 without a real nose tackle. The Redskins did that. They kind of put the cart before the horse and have been trying to play catch-up ever since.
And they still haven't had a true nose tackle.
I'd like one. Bring me one of those. Find me a way to have an honest-to-goodness quality nose tackle. I need that. That's my second biggest need.
I like that. I lumped end and tackle together because in this defense, guys play both.
Sure.
You're not going to sign a guy who only plays nose, just like you're not going to sign a guy that only plays end. So I just put D-line as my number one need, but I get what you're doing as well. We both have three needs left in our top five. One on offense for me, two on defense. Danny's will come your way as well next. We want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. 2 days ahead of free agency. Tampering's underway. What is your biggest need for the Redskins? That's the question on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Tampering's underway legally around the NFL. Free agency 2 days out. Start of the tournament 3 days from now. More on the tourney coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Ben Standig of the Sports Capital is reporting that the Redskins are interested in. We'll talk to Anthony Hitchens, a linebacker who played with the Dallas Cowboys last year. This continues their fascination with and complete process of being enamored with anyone who ever played for the Cowboys. Stephen Bowen, generally it's defensive linemen, Jason Hatcher, Terrell McClain. They are talking with a former Cowboys defensive lineman today. Please stop doing this immediately. Now, I will not be moved to emotion negatively by talking to Anthony Hitchens because I actually think he can play a little bit. A 25-year-old who went to Iowa going into his fifth season, so I don't have a huge problem with him as a linebacker, but I need them to never sign another Cowboys defensive lineman that they're projecting is getting a lot better when they get to Washington again.
Yeah, the guy that excelled in the 4-3 that Dallas doesn't want anymore signed to Washington to play in a 34. That's just really dumb. I never want to see that again. Hitchens specifically doesn't blow my skirt up, you're right, but I think would be one of those adequate replacement players. I think he's fine. Doesn't look like Zach Brown is likely per what Ben Standig is saying and company, so I don't know, man. That's frustrating, but I understand it. This is what sometimes the risk of those one-year deals is. You mutually benefit from it. You got good play for a year. He got his prove it. He proved it. He's looking for a bigger market.
Inside linebacker's a spot you're likely getting worse at. You did re-sign Mason Foster. Will Compton is still a free agent. As of right now, you only have one projected starter there, and they're going to have to find another one, whether it's via free agency or the draft. ILB is on my list of needs, so let's continue with them. We're both two items down and three to go on our top five lists. I said D-line is the biggest need for the Redskins this offseason. Running back is the second biggest need. You've gone one and two, defensive end and nose tackle, respectively.
That's one and two. My number three is wide receiver. You need a wide receiver that can get open. You need a wide receiver that's good against all coverages, a wide receiver that has a versatile skill set, a dependable, true, honest-to-goodness, best wide receiver on this roster. Talking about outside guys. Jamison Crowder is an inside receiver, slot receiver. Yes, very good to go with Jordan Reed. You need somebody that can get open even if Reed isn't there. I need someone that Alex Smith can and will trust. Third and five, where are you going? I need it to be him. That receiver to me is not on their roster. That's my number three need.
Yeah, you need a wide receiver, and this is the one spot that I'm almost 100% against drafting in the early round.
The record isn't very good.
Well, it's not even that
theirs.
To me.
I mean, everybody's.
I understand that, but it is that you've got to continue to develop Josh Doctson. I think it's really hard to draft two young guys and get them both the love, the nurturing, the targets, and the attention that they need. Go get a veteran. You know what he is. Plug him in and let him play. You already know that Jarvis Landry is a Cleveland Brown after getting tagged and traded for a fourth and a seventh by the Dolphins. The second best receiver on the market is Allen Robinson. I actually think he's better than Landry anyway. I'd love him. That is a guy that I would make my number one priority in free agency if it's not Muhammad Wilkerson, who they're talking to today. Sammy Watkins could very well become free from the Rams after they didn't tag him. He's 25 years old. I'm not a huge Sammy Watkins guy for the Redskins. I think you're paying more for his name and college resume and his hype coming out of school as a first-rounder than you are for what he's done in the league. And there's a restricted free agent in Chicago, Cameron Meredith, who is appealing to a lot of teams. I think they could match whatever the Redskins offer. Also, he was going to break out last year, but then he missed the entire season with the ACL-MCL tear. So you're talking about a pretty serious injury he's coming back from. Just so you know how thin the receiver market is,
yeah.
Terrell Pryor is considered a top five player at the position, according to a lot of people. But I like Marquise Lee more than bringing back Terrell Pryor. I like Dante Moncrief for the Colts more than bringing back Pryor. I love Paul Richardson from the Seahawks more than bringing back Pryor. I'm not interested in Mike Wallace, who I thought was 36 years old, but he's actually only 27.
Feels like he's 37.
I'll take Eric Decker, who is old, 31, is a possession threat underneath who can catch you 75 balls. And
I just got to upgrade
that. Let Doxson work underneath. So that's interesting to me. Terrell Williams, the restricted free agent from the Chargers, is intriguing. John Brown from the Cardinals gives you a lot of speed. Some of the names that are out there, you got to sign at least one of those guys probably. We both have wide receiver third. My number four need is outside linebacker. This is with Trent Murphy not having agreed to the terms of the deal they offered him yet and Junior Gallette hitting free agency and likely leaving. You've got Kerrigan and Preston Smith. Preston Smith, who's been rampantly inconsistent and is kind of up and down. With Kerrigan and Smith, you are a satisfactory pass rushing group at OLB. I never want to be satisfactory in that regard.
I got to be great.
S's on your report card and second grade worked. I want a plus mark. What does that mean? That means either you re-up with Murphy and I slot it out of my top five, or if you don't, you go get another guy like Murphy. But I need a speed rusher. I love what Gallette gave him in the second half. Murphy is a lot like Kerrigan, kind of a brute force strong guy. Preston Smith is similar, uses his length. He's not going to burn around the edge. I'd love to get someone a lot like Gallette, younger and healthier maybe, who has speed and can get you 8.5 or 9 sacks as a breakout candidate, a la like Chris Clemens years ago after he left Washington. One of those up-and-coming guys
that
you're smart and you just say, this guy's got speed, hadn't really gotten a chance. Let's use him exclusively on third downs. But OLB to me is a big enough need at fourth on my list that I would not hate it at all if they drafted that in the second round. Like, if they went D-line OLB, I'm cool with that. You can get a running back in this draft in the fourth round after you don't have a third-round pick because of the Alex Smith deal, or you can sign a running back like a Jerick McKinnon. Outside linebacker's number four.
Just missed my list, but it was in consideration. I'm almost cheating and counting that they'll get something back from either Trent Murphy or Junior Gallette, but while they haven't yet, I think you're 100% right. My number four, it's probably going to bother you, but I want a left guard. And I am looking at this offense. I look at Jay Gruden over the course of years. He's never had a good enough running game, which is going to influence my thinking here when I give you the rest of my list. But to me, I don't want to get by. I think that's a place where you could have a decided strategic advantage where you've got maulers. I know you can't pay everybody, and if I'm not going to have a great running game kind of regardless, I'd love to be shorn up there. I'd love to not have to do an Ari Quanjo for 6-7 weeks. I'd love to not have a Tyler Catalina or TJ Clemmings or somebody that I never heard of. I'd like to solidify that spot. No more getting by, no more duct tape. I know you can scheme around some things. I'd like to not have to. I'd like to have everything open to me on the palate. So to me, left guard is my number four.
I like that, and I thought about putting it there because I think that would help unlock the running game a little bit more. But I don't know how many assets I got to throw at the running game to get it right. I mean, I put running back as my number two need. I've got Bill Callahan, who I pay like an offensive coordinator.
Yep.
I've got a Pro Bowl right tackle in Morgan Moses. I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl in the next year or two. He hasn't made one yet, in fairness. I've got an all-pro left tackle. I've got a Pro Bowl right guard in Brandon Scherff multiple times over now. I cannot keep throwing things at my offensive line.
I know.
Lastly, I'm going inside linebacker for the reasons that we talked about. Five for me. So I've got D-line, running back, wide receiver, OLB, and then ILB. You're losing Zach Brown. You could lose Will Compton. You've got Mason Foster. Martrell Spate gets hurt a lot. They need to sign another guy who's a starter. Will Compton should be the third best inside linebacker on the team and a great special teams player and a good leader if you're going to be a really, really good defense, not a starter.
So defensive and impact defensive lineman like that. I'm thinking three downs, disruptor. Nose tackle is my two. Wide receiver, three. Left guard is my four. Middle linebacker is my fifth place guy. I don't know who it's going to be. If it is Zach Brown, if it's Hitchens, if
so
it's somebody else.
So an inside linebacker in their 3-4.
Inside linebacker in their 3-4.
Play next to Zach. Well, it won't be Zach Brown.
Play next
to Mason Foster.
Play next to Foster. Yeah, so I need another guy in there. Presumably the speed guy, the chase it down guy. Let Mason Foster cover and give all the signals and the like. I didn't choose running back. They need to upgrade at running back. They need to be better. But you know my view on this thing. I think you could put Walter Payton and Barry Sanders, a combination of the two of them, into a Super 2.0 hybrid, and he still wouldn't run great behind this scheme, this system. There's something about it that's irrevocably broken. I wish I could tell you what it was. Then I would fix it. I'd go tell Bill Callahan of Callahan Auto Parts what to do and how to do it. I just don't see it. I don't see them able to run the football. I'm going to make sure that my running back is a good pass catcher, maybe another Chris Thompson-type clone. I've kind of given up the idea they'll be able to run it effectively. That's just where I'm at on this, and I'll send money in other spots.
We're going to talk about the Tom Friend Cousins piece at 1. We'll get back into the tournament in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Next, the Baltimore Orioles are doing something. Have you seen this yet today?
No.
Don't look it up. I want to surprise you on
it. Okay.
This is, no bit, one of the coolest things I've seen in sports in a while.
Really?
Could be a huge deal for Major League Baseball as well. And they're the first team to do this. Brant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back in. By the way, your boy, I was drafting an ACC Big East tournament team last week, and okay. I was bouncing some things off you.
Yeah.
I won the
pool. Did you win it?
Yes.
Alabama.
Which is just ridiculous because I was in this pool with so many people that knew so much more about college basketball than me. I had like the 5th pick. But, hey, blind squirrels find nuts this time of year all the time.
Your boy helped you out a little bit, right?
You did. That is, by the way, the most fun thing about the tournament is I really don't think that knowing a lot actually helps you.
It works to my detriment. Let me rephrase. It used to. When I was I was college basketball obsessed.
Right.
It was my number one sport. I watched it, and I was an encyclopedia. I'd be like, well, actually, Cal does a great inside-outside game. Like, I'd know everything about the Pac-12 late night. I'd watch the WAC, all those crazy conferences. I'm still a pretty decent college basketball
fan. Darn knows the most about college basketball than us. Last year, we waxed him in that thing that we did.
Remember?
Where we drafted. Which, by the way, Dar owes us lunch. And you still owe us lunch from 2 years ago, don't you?
Do I still owe?
Yeah, you do. The last two winners have not gotten or not paid
so
off.
So we didn't make Dar do it because he was getting married.
Right.
And we didn't do it because we don't eat food
anymore. I think because you had a kid. I think because you have a son.
No, I was said let's do lunch. Then it's like, well, we can't really enjoy it because
I'll take anytime you want to take me to Big Stick for a bratwurst salad, I'll
no
take
problem.
It.
We I do owe everybody. I don't think I've paid that, so I'm happy to pay it.
Well, we could just keep this thing running where we all owe each other like 6 dinners in 10
and then we
years.
Don't do anything. Yeah.
But are we going to do the draft again this year? Our little 4-person fantasy draft?
Yeah, I didn't pay a lot of attention to college basketball this year, so I'm hoping I do better.
You might have a chance because in the past you've actually known teams and known things and.
Yeah, last year I definitely got ahead of myself and thought, yeah, Michigan State is definitely not going to get upset in the first round and win it all.
But this is my point.
Field 15-2
upset
there.
No one should feel bad. Like, people that don't know anything win these pools all the time.
People basing on mascots.
It's great. It's the best. Speaking of the best, this is the story that I saw and wanted to pass along to you.
I don't know what this is.
You don't. And I think most people listening have not heard this yet, so we'll break this news on Grant and Danny. This came out a little afternoon. The Baltimore Orioles, up 95 at Camden Yards, are going to do something that could help Major League Baseball a lot. This is via ESPN.com. They have made it official. They've made this announcement. MLB, as you know, has the oldest fan base among the four major sports. Not close.
Yeah, the average age of MLB viewers is ancient.
The Orioles have announced today that they are starting a program called Kids Cheer Free, in which parents can bring any kids under 9 years old to games for free all season long.
Come on.
Dead serious. Every parent who buys a regularly priced upper deck seat can get 2 tickets in the upper deck for their kids. So if you have 5 kids, they're not going to give you 5 tickets. But if you buy 2 and your wife buys 2, I guess you could get 4 if you do it separately. But they're giving you 2 free tickets for kids to sit with you to any game this season, all season long.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
This is awesome.
The Orioles are now ahead. That is brilliant.
The promotion is going to run month to month, although it's supposed to run all season long.
Because they're going to try it out and see how
right.
it works.
So right now, March 31st to April 29th are available. Any game you want to take kids to. So I just texted my brother. I got a nephew, his son, my buddy, and I said, why don't we take your kids to the game? They get in free. They're going to do perks for the kids at the game where they're going to get some stuff free and enhance the experience for kids as well. More child-friendly food and beverage options among other youth initiatives. But literally, you're not paying a penny for 2 kids to get in who are coming to a game with you if they're both 9 years old or younger. That's not like an infant or a toddler. We're talking about basically being in 3rd grade and getting into a baseball game for
this
free.
This is what must happen. This is so smart. This is great. Because here's the thing. You're the team. You eat for the sake of argument, a $12 ticket, right? You deal with that cost. But what is that? An investment. The kid comes and he likes it. You want to go back.
Right.
That's still concessions. It's still, you know, merchandise. It's still jerseys. It's still hats. It's a lifetime of fandom. Later on down the line, when that kid, that 9-year-old, is 29 and now earns a little bit of money, maybe he's a partial season ticket holder. That's what teams need to do. Baseball especially needs this more than any of the other sports out there. Brilliant.
The numbers, according to Sports Business Journal, an article came out in 2017. The average age of a Major League Baseball fan, just take a guess.
50-something, I think.
57. NFL average age, I think, was 49. NHL was 49. NBA was 42. Average age of a Major League Baseball fan, 15 years older than a basketball fan, 57 years old. MLB's already launched the Play Ball initiative dating back to 2015. That's the program that encourages kids to play in baseball and softball in their communities. But get them out to the game. Look
this,
at what
you gotta
the
do this.
Falcons did this year.
Yeah.
I think that could be a game changer. They charged way less at the concessions for food and drinks, and they made more money than in previous years. Now, what's hard to, I guess, make sense of is they also had a brand new stadium. So I think a lot of cynical people are saying, well, of course they were going to make more money this year. But they made more than a lot of other stadiums did by charging less. Because at $2, you might get 5 hot dogs and you're still making 10 instead of not buying a $9 hot dog because it was a terrible value.
Right. I'm not smart enough to know economics of a stadium or how things work. I know this, though. If you've got to take a short-term loss for a long-term investment, that's a much bigger deal than you squeeze an extra couple $100 out of a section of fans over the course of one game. Like, it's awesome your chicken tenders cost $11. You win that round, but is that person going to have a great experience every time and come back? I don't know. I know this. I know a lot of fans that have gotten priced out of a lot of different organizations and teams and seating arrangements.
Oh,
I know
absolutely.
That. So to me, trending this way, getting people invested in your product is more important than maybe your bottom line for a given week or month. Like, promotions are one thing, and it's nice. Like, okay, we'll give a bobblehead away, something like that. There needs to be a sea change. And I think the Orioles doing this is brilliant. It's really smart. More teams should do, I'm not going to say the exact same thing, but something close to that. To incentivize young people being invested in the sport. It's critical for the lifeblood of it.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Coming up in the final hour of the show between 1 and 2, the Nationals didn't just not get Jake Arrieta. He went to a division rival that's on the ascent.
Were you surprised at that deal?
I was. Did the Nats drop the ball? We'll answer that question. We will also get into the tournament again. But next, Tom Friend on his story on Kirk Cousins. Forget not liking him as a player. He didn't like him as a dude. This will be tough to navigate because I like Tom Friend and I think he's a good writer, but this piece is great, so we will have him on the show to discuss it next on The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.